Chapter 58. For her second grant, Celeste created a plan for an outdoor raised garden. The research was easy about how the effects of gardening, when it was physically possible, were beneficial to aging people. Her grandparents loved their gardens when Celeste was a little girl. Celeste seized upon the phrase, when physically feasible, and set about making it not only a possibility, but a reality. Her idea was for a freestanding garden that was raised and open underneath to allow for wheelchair access. She sketched out the dimensions of the garden, which would be 20 feet long and 3 feet wide. She contacted the local lumber yard and got an estimate on materials as well as a senior discount for the project. Next, she contacted the oldest farming family in Hackleburg and discussed soil and drainage. They too offered Celeste a discount and felt like they were giving back to the community. When she had her ducks in order, she met with Heidi Kleiss. Celeste knew how height worked by now. She knew that they would be all for it on two conditions. It could not cost them any money, and there had to be no controversy associated with it. Heidi was not a patient listener, but she was very smart. She grasped the broad strokes of Celeste's project quickly, but was shaking her head in a negative way. Where are we expected to get the matching funds for the other 50% of the cost, Celeste? I can't present something to the board that has such a large price tag, with no discernible advantage to us. Heidi was pretty clear that this would be the end of Celeste's most recent pipe dream, when Celeste answered her quickly. I've thought about that, and as I see it, height stands to make money and do a good thing. Oh? Heidi was amused. Exactly how is that supposed to happen? Celeste smiled. Labor. She pulled out her second sheet of calculations. The grant includes both the cost of material and labor. It does not specify how much is allotted to each. We pay for the materials out of the money we get from the state, use our own salaried employees in maintenance to do the work. We charge what we need to do for their service in the grant. Heidi was thoughtful. You are suggesting that the state pay for the project and pay us for the use of our people to build it. Yes, said Celeste. There's nothing in the grant that prevents us from using our own labor and charging what we deem is appropriate. I'll have to talk with Nathan's, but you seem to have covered your bases, Celeste. How long will this take? I think I can have a verbal approval on this additional segment of the existing grant by tomorrow. Heidi was a little taken aback. Have you gone ahead with this without my approval, Celeste? Heidi was sure she did not like Celeste's headstrong ways. Would not think twice about squashing this whole idea of a grant if it had gone behind her back in any way. Oh, no, Mrs. Kleiss. Celeste gave her that look of sincerity that any good Catholic school girl had learned by sixth grade. I've just gotten everything ready for your go-ahead. Celeste was feeling pretty good about herself when she left Heidi's office. She was walking down the hall when the familiar sound of Annabelle Pritchard's crying filtered out of the nursing director's office. She stopped in the doorway. How are you, Annabelle? Annabelle sniffled and reached for another tissue. She gathered herself for gave the appearance of one who was gathering herself and not totally succeeding. "Celeste, nice to see you. I hear everything is going great across the street." Celeste stiffened a little and wanted to say, "Pretty damn well, considering you helped get me demoted and cost me $20,000 a year." She smiled and said, "Things are fine. How's it going for you?" She subtly, but not that subtly, glanced into Annabelle's telltale trash and saw the mounting pile of used tissues. "She fell asleep on a family. It was a family conference about the need for a level change, and she just fell asleep." "Oh no," said Celeste. "The family had to go find someone to help," wailed Annabelle. "And now Mrs. Kleiss says that I have to sit on each family conference to make sure that she stays awake." "That's terrible," said Celeste. "Isn't there anything else that you can do?" "Mrs. Kleiss is afraid to move her out and says that social services is now my responsibility." Celeste saw Annabelle's chin begin to quiver again, and now she had to leave or else laugh. "I have to get back," said Celeste quickly.